Hey, welcome in to the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning. Hope everybody's doing well. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. For people out on the road, a little bit of a wintry mix, I would say. And it's Friday the 13th,
so be careful. That's not a great combo.
Yeah, so be super careful. The roads seemed okay for me, but it definitely seemed like a little bit of a combo of precipitation. So there's my little weather report for
everybody. Al Roker over here. Nicely done. Michelle, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Doing well. I didn't notice any rain. No. Maybe it just started.
Oh, yeah. Out my way. I mean, that's the thing. Yeah. So I come from southeast in here. Robbie comes from northeast-ish. West? Is it east, I guess?
Well, kind of north.
Due north,
pretty
right?
Much, yeah.
Yeah, and then you come from straight west.
Yep.
So, we have different, yeah. So,
also,
anyway.
Also, quickly before we begin, guys, I don't know if you've watched it, but I have a recommendation. Man in the Arena, I just started watching the Brady documentary. Watched the Vrabel episode yesterday. It's really good.
Okay, thanks, Jared. Thanks for the tip.
We know Joe's all over the Man in the Arena.
No, I do want to watch it, but it's just like, he's...
It's funny because they'll show young Vrabel, like him and Brady, and then it'll be like normal aged Vrabel talking.
Old Vrabel, yeah.
Normal aged. It's awesome.
And like some of the sound clips from Belichick and him are like word for word things that he'll just say in a press conference, like, gotta play better, gotta go to no, gotta play better.
Yeah. It's funny, I just said old Vrabel and I'm like 4 years old and it's
yes,
so depressing.
You
man.
Are.
It's so depressing.
See, I put it the
when
nice
the people
way,
you cover
normal
are
age.
Like younger than you now. Sucks.
Yeah, going to Preds development camp in the summer's fun. It's like 18-year-olds out there and like, hi, right. Sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Hey, what's going on?
I mean, you could just about be their dad now.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
What's going on out there? Speaking of the Predators, tough one last night. They fall 4-3 at the hands of the Montreal Canadiens. Preds muster up 42 shots on goal, but it wasn't enough last night. I thought, really, Joe, the difference in the game to me was the first period. I thought the Predators were bad
in
the first period last night.
They
were
ambushed.
They were sloppy with the puck. They made some bad decisions. When they did get some good looks, I mean, Colton Sissons had about as wide open of a net as you're going to have at the NHL level and couldn't convert on that one. I just thought they were bad in the first period last night. And you're starting a rookie goaltender last night. Yaroslav Askarov makes his NHL debut. I don't know that we necessarily expected that this year, but with the way that he's played in Milwaukee so far, Lankin and dealing with some things right now, so Askarov gets the nod last night. What a place to get your first NHL start in Montreal last night.
Montreal. Je t'aime Montreal, as PK Subban said last night. So kind of, in a way, a former Pred screwed over the newest Pred.
Right? Kind of, sort of.
I mean, I feel like there's
a buzz
there,
a little extra
juice. And then you got Carey Price coming out and doing the low five with PK. You know, that was nice, by the way. It was a very nice pregame thing for him. And it was just basically like PK Subban night, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and by the way, shout out to to Hal Gill for unquestionably the tweet of the night.
That was pretty good, yeah.
PK gets out there on the ice doing his like little pregame speech thing. And Al tweets a picture of it and says, 45 minutes till puck drop.
Yeah.
Pretty good stuff.
That was pretty good.
Wait, did you see his other tweet where he's, like, eating something and PK's behind him with all the microphones and he's like, just wanted to take a picture with a former teammate?
Oh, yeah. It's good
stuff.
That
was a good one, too.
I missed that one. Actually, but it wasn't too long of a speech.
No,
it was a good speech.
He did a good job.
But so the cameras showed the hanging jerseys. And so for a minute, I'm like, wait a minute. I mean, there's no way Subban's getting his – I mean, he had a great run there. He had a great run in the NHL. But that franchise, they're not retiring that franchise has
no. –
yeah. So I got a little bit – I'm like, wait a minute. I thought this was just tribute night, but it is. It was just tribute night. But, yeah, they were extra jacked up, and the Preds did not respond to it because it could have been a great opportunity to go into the most hallowed arena in the league and win your first start, but Askarov was just early on, and he was also a few times a little bit, you know, all over the place himself.
Well,
which you might expect.
Yeah, well, it's kind of how he is too. Anyway, he's just
aggressive,
a little bit all over the place, which is honestly what makes him fun to watch. I mean, I remember even in like training camp practices, I'd look up and, he's 35 feet out of the net right now going after the puck. What's he doing over there?
Making Pecorino look conservative.
The evil Knievel over there, I mean, as Pete Weber used to say. But, you know, I just thought the first period was the difference in the game. Like, you know, Askarov, he's not ready to me yet to be an NHL goaltender, which is fine. I mean, he's
not supposed
a young
to
kid. He's not supposed to be. Honestly, I think for the most part, he's done pretty well in Milwaukee this year. So that's, I think he's in a really good spot in terms of his development. I mean, you also have to keep in mind, because of his situation last year in the KHL, where for those who aren't familiar with it, he basically got put on the bench because they knew he was coming to the NHL. He basically didn't play last year. So this is a big year for him to get a lot of games. Didn't expect him to be in the NHL at any point this year, but you know, I think this could ultimately end up being a pretty good experience for him. Obviously, you want to get the win. When you're playing a team like Montreal, who's not very good, I know it's going on the road, and like you said, Joe, there was a little bit of an extra jump in the building last night, but it's a 3-2 road trip. It's a fine road trip. You'll take that on a 5-game road trip, but would like to beat Montreal on the road.
Right, and yeah, when it starts 3-0,
yeah,
you drop two in a row to the two, you know, darlings of the league that both were, you know, both could have been had, but especially Montreal. So it's disappointing. Where's Yaroslav Askarov a year from now?
That's a great question because, I mean, look, I think Saros is still going to be the starting goalie a year from now. So if you're the Predators,
he could win the Vezina this year.
Well, he could very well win the Vezina this year. So if you're the Predators, what's better? Is it Askarov being the backup goalie and playing 28, 29, 30, 32 games somewhere in that neighborhood? Or is it him playing a lot in Milwaukee another
season
year
there?
I don't know what the answer is.
Because like, Lankin, I think some of the answer is Lankinen, right?
I think
and
so
if
too.
If he's this good, then you have the luxury of doing that.
Agreed. And quite frankly, when they signed Lankinen, I did not expect him to be this good, and he has been this good. So that's a great find for the Predators to this point. But the way that they treat this is going to be pretty interesting to me. Like at some point, you're going to have to make a decision. Okay, Askarov's ready, and Saros is what he'll be at that point, like 29, 30. I mean, he's still going to be right in the prime of his career. What do you do at that point?
Well, I think there's definitely a possibility. You know, look, they had a perfect sort of passing of the baton with Rene and Saros, but this is a little different. And you know, this it may be that one of them brings a haul back, right?
Yeah, could be. I mean, Saros is 27, so it's not like he's going anywhere anytime soon in terms of his ability. He's 27 years old right now. He's dead in the prime of his career. I mean, he's playing as well right now as he's played his entire career.
And the you know, the goaltender, the typical rule on goaltenders, it's not like quarterbacks. I mean, usually you and some guys defy this too. I think Rene did to some extent. I mean, Rene took the Preds to the Cup final after he was supposed to be, you know, starting to go into his decline, right?
Yep.
But usually you get into about 32, 33. That's when people expect it to start going down.
Yep.
But that still leaves, I mean, okay, so then Askarov is – you know, I mean, he's 25, 26 at that point.
Well, and maybe contract-wise, it works out well if you're the Predators. Saros is signed through the 24-25 season. So I think that year he'll be 29, and I want to say he turns 30 in April of that year. So,
yeah, April of 95, or yeah, so April of 25.
Yeah, so yeah. I think he'll be 30 in 25. So do you say, all right, well, let's sign up for – you know, 4 or 5 more years of UC Saros, or is it the Yaroslav Askarov show after that?
Or do you, it's a nice tandem.
It is a nice tandem.
But I just feel like both of them should be starting goaltenders for a certain stretch of time. I think both of them are too good to not be starting goaltenders in the NHL.
Well, the one thing that you can see, and we're going to hear from John Hines on this here in just a few minutes, but the one thing that you can see from Askarov last night that is pretty clear, I mean, number one, he's got great size. He's got incredible athleticism. Yeah. I mean, the guy is a freak in net. And I know Saros has incredible athleticism, too.
In a different
way. It's just a different way.
It's like length and athleticism.
Yeah, like Saros is about as technical as it gets in terms of his style. And there's nothing wrong with it, obviously. He's really good. Askarov, I mean, there's a lot of flash to it. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I just think he's got a lot of ability. I mean, you can see it from the jump. So once he gets some experience under his belt, I mean, there's a reason that people view him the way that they do and are talking about him as one of the best goalie prospects that we've seen in the last 15 years. There's a reason people view him that way.
Yeah. No, you can see it. I think it's pretty clear to the naked eye that he has that once it all comes together, and you don't know that it will for sure. Like, you don't know exactly what it's going to be, but he has the ingredients to be freakishly good for a while.
Here's what Predators head coach John Hines had to say last night after the loss to Montreal on the NHL debut of Yaroslav Askarov.
I thought Yaro came in and played well. He got tested. You know, I thought we needed to play better in front of him, but good first start for him. Made some big saves. Was tested a lot, so I give him a lot of credit.
So that was Hines last night, and I would agree, especially in the first period. I was honestly watching the game, and the first period was transpiring. I guess it was about 14, 15 minutes through, and I was like, man, y'all just going to totally leave this kid out to dry in his first NHL game tonight? It's an interesting way to go about it.
I mean, I liked my tweet, personally. I was like, why don't you just have him carry the bags or something?
That's good. That's good.
Thank you. Thank you. Carry the bags, buy breakfast. Don't do this to him. This is bad hazing.
We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we got briefly into this yesterday about the NHL trading deadline and what the Predators should do before it. I've thought a little bit more about it. We'll get more into that coming up next. Take your thoughts on the Predators and where they're at right now, exactly halfway through the NHL season. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. More on that coming up next. Let me tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. NFL Wildcard Weekend is here, and the easiest way to get into the playoffs is with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers, you can join today to get started with $150 in free bets, guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. All you have to do is sign up with promo code ROB. FanDuel has all your favorite bets from the money line to point spreads to player props, plus you can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. The Bengals and the Ravens coming up this weekend. I like the Bengals big. I like Joe Burrow over on passing yards, and I like Ja'Marr Chase as an anytime touchdown scorer. But you can take it any way you want to take it. Just make sure you do it on FanDuel, all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Football fans, don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, with promo code ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
That's one part of the frustration. The other part of the frustration, and this does impact the Predators in a pretty specific way, one GM kind of referred to it as the muddy middle of the standings. You've got a ton of teams right now that all are kind of contending, not bad enough to be where like Montreal and Arizona and Chicago are. They're just kind of like stuck. Right. And part of that is the parity of the league and overtime losses and everything that kind of keeps everybody competitive until later in the season. But part of it is also just not really knowing what they are and how many chips they should put in to really make a go of it. Or if it may not just be your year and it's not worth trading a first or trading, you know, future draft capital to try to improve a team that might not necessarily be all that improvable.
That was Greg Wyshynski yesterday from ESPN on Chase and Michelle discussing the NHL, the trade deadline coming up on March the 3rd, and the jumbled mess that is the NHL standings, especially as Greg pointed out in the middle right there. And Joe, we talked to David Poile about that a little bit earlier this week, and as he mentioned, It's probably too early to really know what the trade deadline market's going to look like. It is January the 13th, and the deadline's not till March the 3rd. So there's a lot that has to play out before then. Now, having said that, that sounds like it's really far away. There's about a week and a half, two-week break with the All-Star break coming up that makes that much closer than it seems like at the moment. So there's still some information to gather here if you're the Predators, if you're several teams in the league that are right kind of in the middle, in the mix right now in the standings. Now, having said that, Joe, last night was game 41 for the Predators, and I'm no math major, but that's halfway through the season of an 82-game season. And here they sit, 19-16-6, 44 points, and at the moment they're out of a playoff spot. Now, it is worth pointing out Edmonton and Calgary are the two teams ahead of them in the wild card spot right now. Preds have two games in hand on both of them. St. Louis is right in front of them. So the Predators have games in hand on a lot of people in the Western Conference. Matter of fact, I think Colorado and Chicago are the only ones they don't have games in hand on. Having said that, they are out of a playoff spot 41 games through the season. So what do you make of what you've seen from them thus far and maybe how that influences how you view what they do in the future come trade deadline time?
Well, and 88 points won't get it done.
It will not.
So basically, if they have the same second half, they're not going to be in the playoffs. Based on, I mean, how many times has a team snuck in 88 points?
I don't know that I can remember that ever happening.
Yeah, I think, you've got to be in the 90s, and usually more like the mid-90s, right? Of course, they've played better lately. Of course, they've lost two in a row. So back and forth we go. But you can't have, obviously they can't afford any of the real down stretches that they had earlier this season. I mean, it feels like over a longer period of time, they've played at a sneak into the playoffs level. But I think, you basically have to, you have to basically get, here's more math, 55 points, 53 points, something like that to feel good. In the second half, 53 to 55 points to feel good about getting in.
Correct.
So we're not going to know by the trading deadline if that's going to happen. I think they're going to be on the borderline. If they're on the borderline, I think David Poile is going to do something to try to improve the team to get them into the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, that would be what recent history would tell you, right? I mean, that's – I think you said this earlier this year, and I'm talking like 15 games in, and I think it's totally spot on. Like, for the Predators to sell at the deadline, I think they'd have to be so far out of it that it just wouldn't – like, mathematically, you'd look around and you'd say, I mean, come on, guys. You're not making the playoffs.
Like, all but mathematically out. They're not going to be mathematically, but, right. Like, basically, like, yeah, unless you go on the tear of terrors, you're not
– Yeah, like, you're 10, 11 points out of a playoff spot by the time the deadline rolls around.
But they'd have to really bleep the bed – for a stretch here.
Which I don't think they're going to do.
Not for Bedard, but just bleep the bed.
Right. Like, I said this yesterday on Twitter, and I believe it. Like, when the trade deadline comes around on March the 3rd, if the Predators aren't on the playoff bubble or in the playoffs, I would be shocked. Like, I just think, number one, your goaltender's playing so well right now that you're going to win some games. I mean, you just are. You're going to win some games if Saros continues to play as well as he's played over the course of the past month. Philip Forsberg continues to light it up offensively. He's, whatever was going on with him the first part of the year, the numbers, as we talked about, were okay. He just didn't look noticeable out there. Well, he's been pretty noticeable in the last 3-4 weeks.
Yeah, thanks, Phil. Thanks, listener, for calling it late yesterday, by the way.
Yeah.
Thanks, Yuso Parsonen.
Yeah, Rex Road cheated and got rewarded yesterday. Some good stuff in the competition. Just saying.
Yeah. What am I doing? I can't control these things.
Give it back, Joe. Give the point back.
Didn't he read off the standings? And Joe's like, yeah, Phil Forsberg, thanks. All right. Done. Oh. But they're gonna be good enough to be in the mix, I think, by the time the deadline rolls around, which I know some Preds fans are sitting there like, good gracious. Yes, I know they are, but that's not what we want them to be. Well, that's probably what they're gonna be as the trade deadline rolls around. So what do you do at that point? I'll be honest with you, Joe. There's not really a scenario to me, if I were GM, where I would be comfortable giving up a first or second rounder this year. Like, I'm not giving up a first round pick or a second round pick at the deadline this year. That's me. I'm not doing it. Number one, you don't have a lot of cap room anyway, so there's not a whole lot you're going to be able to do. But the scenario that I kind of floated out there yesterday, and the more I thought about it, the more I think it makes a lot of sense. Like, what are you going to do with Dante Fabbro? You're going to have to figure that out at some point over the next few months. Do you figure it out before the deadline? I mean, you could wait, and it's not like he's an unrestricted free agent. You could trade his rights in the offseason, and there's a ton of different things you could do. But would that be something that you want to figure out before the deadline and maybe try to flip him for, I guess you could do a pick, but I guess more what I have in my head is, is there a distressed asset somewhere else, like a younger forward that's not fitting in for whatever reason, like we saw here with Eli Tolvanen, who, by the way, scored again last night, that you could just swap for Dante Fabbro? I don't know who that would be. Honestly, I just need to look into it and look around the league. I mean, maybe the Oilers would tell you maybe it's Jesse Puljujarvi. I don't know. We'll see. But would that be something that could be an option for the Predators to move on from Dante Fabbro? Because I said it yesterday, and I said it over the summer. The day that they acquired Ryan McDonagh, to me, signaled the end for one of Carrier or Fabbro in a Predators uniform after this year. There's no way. I shouldn't say there's no way. There's no way that makes any sense to me that you could keep both of them after this year. So do you try to move on from that now if you're the Predators? The more I think about it, the more I think it makes sense to try.
Yeah, I mean, is there a buyer out there, a clear buyer out there that actually could look at him and say, actually, you know, he could plug into the top four and actually help us this year? Or, you know, it doesn't even necessarily have to be that. Just, like, he could help us this year. I mean, as far as, like, yeah, I'm with you. A distressed asset, a forward. I feel like they have plenty of, you know, forwards floating around, you know, that aren't, you know, that some young guys that come in and do okay. But, you know, you never know. You bring someone in, and just like with Tolvanen right now, it could be a breath of fresh air, and you could have a burst of really good hockey from somebody. I'm with you. It's like a forward. But I also would not hate it if you just did it for a pick.
No. Like, you're gonna have to move on from one of them. I mean, it doesn't make any sense if you don't. So, I mean, I guess it could be Carrier, but I just with the way things have played out with Fabbro, he's the guy on the third pair right now.
They trust Carrier.
You know, a week and a half ago, Fabbro was a healthy scratch. So, to me, it's going to be Fabbro is the guy that you move on from. Why, if you could find a deal for it now, why would you wait? Now, I guess the counter argument would be, well, okay, what happens if a Ryan McDonagh gets hurt, or a Josi gets hurt, or an Ekholm gets hurt?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you look around and your defense, it's not. Doesn't have a lot of depth if Fabbro's not there. Like, right now, it wouldn't be a great scenario, but if one of those top three gets hurt, you can just say, all right, well, we'll move one up, move Fabbro back up into the top four, and you just go.
Yeah, it's good to have depth for sure. What's more important moving forward? Also, is Boro coming back at any point? Because, you know, there's an aid to your depth, if so.
The last I heard, that he was working his way back, but that, you know, I don't, you know.
There's no.
There could be a lot of different means
right,
for that.
I could, yeah. So, what kind of pick can you get for Fabbro?
I don't think a very high one. Like, I saw somebody.
Get a third?
Maybe. I saw somebody float out the idea of, could you get a second rounder the other day? I'm not saying you absolutely couldn't, because, again, they gave up a second rounder for Jeremy Lozon last year.
It depends on who you're trading with.
And I remind people of this conversation every year. Just because so-and-so went for something one year does not mean that that's what the line is next year. The trade deadline is not always created equal.
It's not linear.
But I'd be surprised if you got a second-round pick for Fabbro. That's just me.
I mean, Fabro's got to be – and he's obviously – I mean, he's bounced back from like a couple of years ago, right?
Yeah.
But he's got to be in terms of the history of – we talk about the, you know, drafting of forwards history, which obviously isn't great under David Poile, but – with defensemen, usually somebody picked there. I mean, can you think of anyone else picked in that spot as a defenseman for this franchise who didn't turn out to be right around what they hoped?
I'm sure if I went down the list, I could find some, but you'd have to go back a while, yeah. I mean, first off, that's the other thing. Like, they haven't really picked anybody in this position since Fabbro on defense, which is kind of amazing given the history of this franchise. And I think you're seeing it a little bit right now. Like, The two guys that they've called up this year were Kevin Gravel and Roland McEwen from Milwaukee. Neither one of those guys were drafted. They had to go sign them this offseason. Like, they have zero depth right now, like, organizationally, some of their defensemen.
Which is another case, you know, for not trading away as someone you can at least trust to go play. But I hear you. It's like, when you think about the cap and everything, it doesn't make sense.
615-737-1025. What do you make of what we've seen from the Predators through the halfway point of the season? And what should the Predators do or consider doing as the NHL trade deadline approaches? We'll have more on that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook today and every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Taking your thoughts on the Pred, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Rex Road is captivated by the highlights last night from the Mavericks and the Lakers.
I mean, I don't know who won, don't tell me, but Luka with the bomb to send it to overtime, the bomb to send it to double overtime. My God, he's ridiculous.
He's been performing at such an incredible level. I mean, he always does, but he's just taken it to another level this year.
He's pretty good. And the Mavs did win, by the way, for anybody wondering. 35-14 and 13 for him. 35-14 and 13 for Luka.
Just a casual Thursday.
Lost. Joel in White House on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, I'm so glad we set Jankowski. Wonderful. We replaced him with the immortal, the infamous, the greatest Predator to never score a goal, Cole Smith. I'm so relieved. This is from Joel in White House last night.
Is Cole Smith the Jeff Swaim of the Predators?
Yes, there's no question.
There you go.
The fan base is hung up on Cole Smith.
Yeah, they are just obsessed with Cole Smith.
They do not like
it. It's like all you folks, all you Swaim haters. I mean, Swaiters.
Well, I'll say, like, I found out the other day that, like, I was looking around on Twitter. Cole Smith blocked me. And I was like, man, what's going on around here?
Did he really?
Yeah. Like, Cole Smith, Deion Lewis, people blocking me left and right.
Cole Smith blocked you?
Yeah.
Okay. I got to look up
what's going on around here.
I bet Rex Rhodes blocked too.
Yeah, I probably is too.
Well, one thing that's great about
some people just block anything associated with media, they're just like, yeah, I don't want any part of it.
Once I got away from beat writing, when, like, I was on the Mississippi Beat Forever, you follow everybody, every player, every parent, right? And so I don't really follow players.
I've much less, much less I've done that.
But now I need to find Cole Smith. What's his?
I'll have to find it for you. I don't know.
I so hope I'm blocked.
But the point that I was going with there before I somehow devolved into that,
yeah,
was, like, Cole Smith, I think, for the role they asked him to play, is fine. I think the reason people get hung up on Cole Smith is, like, Tolvanen not being in the lineup, and now he's gone, Cole Smith's playing,
sure,
and all these other guys. So,
right. And, you know, that's different roles. No, Cole Smith hasn't blocked me. Should I follow?
Good for you. Way to go.
This is him, right? It's UND hockey.
Sure.
You know, I mean, he could update his profile to let us know he plays for the Nashville Predators, but.
Wait, did he block you?
He hasn't blocked me.
Yet.
Maybe I can rip him this segment and get blocked.
Deion Lewis.
God, Deion Lewis went on a rampage
of
blocking people.
Holy crap.
Loved those questions. So now that Derrick Henry's good, do you think he'll ever get a carry again? Really loved that.
It was beautiful. But I understand the frustration. There's a lot of Predators fans that are frustrated with the lineup. I mean, we had Aiden on Twitter that reached out a few minutes ago, says, should the Predators make the playoffs, does Hines keep his job, or does another first-round exit coupled with another disappointing regular season with questionable decisions throughout seal his fate, as it should, he put in parentheses.
Thank goodness I can't believe we got through a half hour talking about the Preds without firing Hines or Poyle. So thank you for bringing us back to that.
Yeah, I don't know.
If they make the – I mean, again, I've made my position clear. You know, David Poyle firing John Hines and getting another coach, to me, would be absurd. Both of them being fired, possibly. Both of them not being fired. I mean, if they make the playoffs, I don't think anyone's going anywhere.
I don't think so, no. I mean, look, they gave Hines the extension last year. It was basically a one-year extension, so he's got another year after this. But, I mean, if you wanted to get out of that, you could. But no, like if they make the playoffs, I think that they'll probably be around. I know that's not what a lot of Predators fans want to hear, but as you assess the situation, like I think that may be what it is.
It's very much the next few weeks are gonna. I mean, look, if they take what they've been doing lately before the last two games and extend that to a month of that kind of hockey, I think they're gonna win more than they lose, and they're going to be in a pretty decent position, and they're going to look a little bit more like the team we thought they might be this year.
Right. Now,
it's still possible.
Now, having said that, I can only react to what I've seen so far. And I agree they're playing better, and I talked about it yesterday. I think there's a lot of different ways that they're playing better, which if they continue to do so, I think will translate to more wins in the second half of the year. Now, having said that, I picked this team to finish in third place in the Central Division this year.
Yeah.
And right now they're out of a playoff spot halfway through the season. I mean, it's been a disappointing season to this point. There's no other way to put it than that.
And I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, remember last year. Now, some people went nuts about this. I didn't bother me as much, especially because I was actually right. But
you were.
They made a huge deal out of nobody picked them to go to the playoffs. Nobody. So they exceeded the outside. That was a big deal. So if you're going to do that, then we have to come this year and say, okay, here were the outside expectations.
Yeah.
They were much higher. You got McDonough. You got Niederreiter. So let's make sure that we're looking at it the exact same way. Right now they are absolutely below expectations.
Well, and they're below expectations, and they've not really had really bad injury luck yet, right? I mean, McDonough was out for a little bit, you know, Carrier was out for a little bit. Obviously, they've been without Borowiecki for a while.
I'm going to do this as you're saying it on Friday the 13th. I don't want you to be blamed for a rash of injuries.
Forsberg's been healthy. Duchesne's been healthy. Johansson's been healthy. I mean, they've been pretty healthy. So Saros has been healthy, which is the main thing that we've seen.
Maybe early, a little bit of whatever, extra rust because of his injury or something.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that he's at 922 right
it's
now.
Pretty unbelievable.
And 265 with this start.
I know.
That's big time.
Chris on the text line says, if you're frustrated with the lineup, just give it another shift and it'll all change. This is from Chris on the text line. Has been
I see what you're putting down there, Chris.
Spare bit of line shuffling this year. I mean, it's really we've talked about this a ton, but like this fan base, it's in such an interesting spot right now because this is a classic example of like social media. How much do you put into it and how much do you not? Because I tweeted out yesterday about like the Predators playing better, and like the only responses I got on social media were like, who cares?
Fire
Oh,
everybody!
My goodness, fire somebody. And I was like, geez.
Yeah. There's some people who are just
say
out.
Something positive going on here and just nothing.
There's this subscriber at The Athletic. His name's Jeff D. It's absolutely set your clock to it. If you write anything ever about the Preds, it doesn't matter what it is. He will be the first to comment, and he'll be like, when are they going to fire Boylan Hines? It does not matter what it's about. I mean, it's like a story about Terry Crisp. Well, yeah, but when are we firing Boylan Hines?
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate you.
But to me, it's like, do you get any joy out of watching? Like, if you care enough about this team and want people to be fired, do you ever like it? Sit down and watch a hockey game and say, wow, that was enjoyable. My team won. Yay. Or is it just like, I don't care? Or you just hate watching every single game?
I mean, it's a legitimate question. I don't know. I mean, look, there's 82 of these things in an hockey season. That's a whole lot of time to put in to not want your team to
watching.
Win.
That's a lot of hate watching.
There's no question about it. So.
It's like, I mean, I guess that's basically like me and the Lions the last quarter century.
Imagine if you had to watch them 82 times a year. But that's laughing from afar hate watching. That is true.
I mean, and knowing they're going to lose.
Well, we mentioned the road trip. We went 3-2 on the road trip. Before the All-Star break coming up here in a couple of weeks, you got 6 of your next 7 at home. So this is a prime opportunity to take advantage of that. And if you could pile up some points, go on a bit of a streak here. I mean, if you're in a playoff spot by the All-Star break, that'd be in a pretty good spot right there if you're the Predators, based on the way things have gone to this point. Now, the flip side of that is, you got some big games. You got Calgary next Monday, St. Louis next Thursday, L.A. next Saturday. All those teams are kind of right there with you in the playoff mix. You start to lose those games, it could go the other way on you pretty quickly. I mean, Poyle pointed this out with us earlier this week, but as you look at the schedule, and you knew it was going to be this way, but coming down the stretch into February and March, You got a whole lot of divisional games, whole lot of games against teams that right now, I mean, you're going toe-to-toe with in a playoff spot. And that could be good or bad. I mean, you start to win those games, you're going to be in a great spot. You lose, you're going to be with an extreme uphill battle if you start to lose more of those than you win. I mean, that's the thing last year. Think about how good they were in the division last year. They were really good in the division last year. Not been great this year.
Yeah. Now, look, and the feeling, the one thing that I'll say that's different, obviously, about earlier in the year, well, they're playing better, but just Soros alone, to me, should give them confidence that they can get in here and start making up for some of the I mean, look, because it was, part of it was tied to him just not being great early, too, right?
Yes.
I mean, he could have bailed their butts out of a few of those games if he was playing like this, for sure.
Yep.
If this is what he's going to be the rest of the way, then I think they're going to be right there.
This is what he's going to be the rest of the way. They're going to make the playoffs.
You would think so.
Yeah.
And he might win the Vezina.
He very well might. Matthew from Jolton on the text line says, hashtag tank for Bedard.
Nope, it's bleep the bed for Bedard. Bleep the bed for Bedard. You know, that's the thing, real quick, because, you know, think about the Wyshynski clip earlier. You know, a couple, you know, those teams that are just god awful, like Chicago. I mean, Chicago is just absolutely, they're going to go as cheeks as you can go. And then what if they don't get him?
I know.
Ping pong balls don't, you know, and that is the problem in this league with going that route. Because then you suck like this and then you don't get him.
It's a tough one.
I don't even know who the next pick is, but. It's not Bedard.
They couldn't fully bleep the bed.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So we'll see.
He's peed it.
What happens on that front? Thank you, Joe.
Coming up next,
we'll get into wild card weekend, or excuse me, super wild card weekend, as I was reminded yesterday. Can the Jacksonville Jaguars actually make a run in the playoffs? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, super wild card weekend beginning tomorrow. Get excited. Interesting matchups, particularly on Saturday. We went through the matchups yesterday. I'll just be honest with you, the Sunday slate does not excite me all that much, just given the quarterback situations for a couple of these teams. But we'll see what happens. It's the NFL. A lot of times things that don't look great on paper going in turn out to be great. And sometimes they turn out to be exactly what you think they will be heading into the game. Jacksonville taking on the Chargers this weekend. A second consecutive Saturday night primetime game in Duval. That pool's going to be flowing. I looked at the forecast. It's going to be like 48, 49 degrees that night. So I don't think anybody's going to be at the pool in
Duval.
It's going
to be clear water again.
Clear water again.
Unfortunately.
In that pool in Duval. But this is a Jacksonville team that has got to be very confident. They went on an absolute tear to end the season, to win the division, and Trevor Lawrence is playing well. They've already beaten and, quite frankly, pummeled the Chargers earlier this year. Now, granted, that was week two. That was a long time ago. But having said that, you are the home team. This is a game where if you win, all of a sudden you find yourself in the divisional round if you're Jacksonville. Do you have faith that the Jacksonville Jaguars, number one, can win this game, and number two, maybe could make things interesting and actually go on a playoff run here down in Duval with Doug Peterson, Trevor Lawrence, and company?
Yes and no.
Okay.
I think they can win this game, and I think that'd probably be about it for them. Anything could happen. You know, they still have they've got some holes. You know, I think at home in prime time, they could definitely win this game. The Chargers are ailing. Like, Mike Williams is making the trip, but it doesn't sound great for him. He's going to try to go before the game. That's a big deal for the Chargers. They're still a very talented team. Yeah, but I don't necessarily trust their coach, to be honest. And I think Doug Peterson's done a really good job with the Jags. Would Titans fans rather they just get smoked in this game, or is there any, you know, it's not like the SEC.
AFC South,
AFC South.
No, like if I'm a Titans fan, I'm rooting for the Chargers to win by approximately 75 points on Saturday.
Were Titans fans rooting for Brady to come back and win that game over Bortles and company a few years ago?
I don't know. That's a great question.
That would have been kind of sweet, right?
It would have been.
God, they were totally in position.
Now,
in that game.
What's interesting about that is I say like Titans fans should be rooting for the Chargers to win by a million points on Saturday. Let's say they do. Well, then Titans fans are going to be like, well, see, we told you. What would have been the point of making the playoffs? They got smoked out there by the Chargers.
Well, then all the top 10 pick truthers will be like, ah-ha!
Which, by the way,
didn't
work.
That's why I was rooting. Yeah, I know. Number 11 is pretty good.
It's close.
Yeah. How many people were that? How many people were like, yes, cheering things on when that fumble got returned because the Titans get a couple spots higher in the draft?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it would be – I think – number one, I think a lot of Titans fans are rooting for the Chargers because you don't want to see your rival do well. But I think it would be kind of an extra kick in the pants. Like, it's one thing to go on the 7-game losing streak and lose the division to the Jags. But I think you could also say at the end of the day, all right, well, they lost 7 games in a row. They fired their general manager. They had their entire roster hurt. Their quarterback was hurt. You come back, you run it back next year. If Jacksonville gets put out, and especially if they get smoked in the first round, you're like, all right, well, the Jags won the division by default. We'll get in there next year, and the AFC South's back to being ours. All of a sudden, the Jags go on the run to, like, the AFC title game. You're like, man, the world's going on here. This run of Trevor Lawrence has started, and there's nothing we can do about it if you're Titans.
Yeah, but what were people saying when they made the AFC title game run a few years ago?
Yeah.
Ooh, that. I mean, I will tell you, one thing was, man, is that's a talented roster.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the quarterback's not great, but it's a talented roster. And then all of a sudden, it just went to absolute just garbage. So, you don't know. And even to your point on the Titans, I mean, go back to the McNair, the great era of McNair, Eddie George, Jeff Fisher. They had that one year where they just lost all those close games. They had injuries and stuff, and they stunk, right?
Yep.
What'd they go, like 6-10 or something?
I believe that they were 7-9.
Okay.
Year. Yep.
But that was an aberration. And they came right back the next year, and they were really good. So, I mean, it is possible that this group – could now I don't know how much long after next year they have, but I mean it is possible this group could end up moving forward, fixing things, and looking at this last season as the aberration.
Zach in Nashville on the text line says every Titans fan should want the Chargers to drown the Jaguars in that pool in the stadium. I was cheering for Brady to beat them in 2017. Got another texture that says the easy answer is yes, we want the Jags to get beat by 40 points. And I got another text that says always root for anyone playing any other team in the AFC South. So Titans fans appear to be unified on the text line to this point.
Yeah, and I also feel like the Chargers they're kind of a likable team, right? They got a lot of good players.
To me, they're just kind of there. I like Justin Herbert.
They're a perennially overrated team.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Justin Herbert. I mean, I think it's easier. Like if it was somebody like Brady or whatever, who else in the AFC – might you have trouble rooting for? The Ravens?
Like, with the success that Mahomes has had, do you think, like, the general – like, if Titans fans or NFL fans at large been like, oh, my gosh, okay, we get it. Patrick Mahomes is really good. They've won a lot. They're in the AFC title game every year. Somebody beat them.
Yeah, probably. But, like, I understand his brother's annoying as hell. Some people think that of his wife, too. But Andy Reid's so like, and I think Mahomes is likable.
I think both
are
likable.
Like, how do you not like Mahomes? How do you not like Andy Reid?
Look, I like Brady, but there's no question he got to a point where it's like, okay, all right. Yeah. Tired of seeing that guy.
He's just a
Brady
freaking
is
nature.
Not nearly as likable as Patrick Mahomes.
I would agree.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
I will say.
Would you agree?
Once you watch Man in the Arena, he's more likable.
Is he?
I watched it last night and it was a little emotional.
Wow.
It was very inspiring.
Of all the movies that you haven't watched, and this is what you chose to do with your time, very disappointing.
Michelle this week's turning into a Tennessee fan, wants to fire John Calipari, and is now following in Jared Stillman's footsteps and her love for Tom Brady.
So the man in the arena, he was just, explaining his story, and when he gets drafted, he's like, nobody believed in me, and the Peyton back and forth. I'm like, wow, this is just really inspiring, and just like one tear falls, and Ryan's like, yeah, you could be the quarterback of the Patriots someday. I'm like, you know what? I could. It's just inspiring, guys. So I like him more.
A tear fell. Wow.
Just one singular one.
Just one tear.
Bo from Murfreesboro says, we'll certainly be rooting for the Chargers. However, I doubt anyone that will be playing this weekend has a legitimate shot at a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Are we referring to just the Chargers-Jags game there, or anyone at all on the weekend?
Yeah,
somebody's got to win.
You better. Well, there's people that teams have buys, right? But I would disagree on the Bengals
and the Bills
and the Bills. And what about the Niners? NFC? The Niners are playing. Yeah.
Cowboys.
You sure on the Cowboys?
No, I think they're going to lose this weekend. Yeah. But I do. I mean, you can't tell me that they're.
You'd have to include them.
Yeah. Their roster's not good enough to win a Super Bowl.
So what you're saying is you know for sure it's Eagles-Chiefs. That would be fun, by the way.
I was thinking about
I'll sign up for Eagles-Chiefs.
I was thinking about this. Like, if you had to pick one team, not of the big three in the AFC, so Chiefs, Bills, Bengals, who is your dark horse candidate in the AFC? Is it the Chargers?
Yeah, I think so because, I mean, they do have the talent on both sides of the ball if they play their absolute best. I think
it'd almost have to be given the quarterback situations of everybody else unless you just love Trevor Lawrence.
And the Ravens are toast. The Dolphins are toast. And, yeah, the Jags aren't ready. So it's got to be them.
There you go.
Here's another question. For Titans fans, are you rooting for A.J. Brown and Brett Kern to get rings?
Ooh.
Come on. Root for them.
I don't think people are. No.
There is no way.
I don't think so.
I can't believe. I understand. I mean, there's probably some Titans fans just like, oh, no, I like that trade. Can't judge the trade yet. Okay. Gotta let it play out a few years. Oh, okay. But come on. I understand AJ, you know, little Twitter fingers and all that stuff. You don't want that guy to go win? And I know that he
No, they don't. They do not.
I reject that out of hand. All right, I'm doing a poll.
I'm just telling you.
I'm
they
doing
don't.
A Twitter poll.
Now, Kern, I think people wouldn't mind.
Well, it's the same thing.
I understand they're on the same
team. The other does, too.
I'm just saying. I don't think that people would be overly excited to go watch AJ Brown win a Super Bowl. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll continue the conversation on the Titans. What should the Titans be looking for when they hire their next offensive coordinator? We'll get into that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.